page 554 of the Book of Praise. Lord's Day 38, what does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God, to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works, let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. After the sermon, we'll sing hymn 71. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we are dealing with the fourth word of the covenant, also known as the fourth commandment. It is a long commandment. It also starts off remarkably and rather forcefully when it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Very straightforward. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. The rest of the commandment works out in some detail how we are to do that. Now, the Sabbath is a Hebrew word which literally means cease and desist. In other words, stop. Stop your work. Don't do any work on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, as we know from the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, was the seventh day of the week, the Saturday. On this day, Israel was to stop working. Relax. Take a holiday. Be refreshed. Don't pick up a hoe. Don't do anything. You can take the whole day off. And because you have the day off, you now have extra time and opportunity to get together on the Sabbath and worship the Lord. We can have sacrifices, we can open God's word, and we can see what an amazing God we have. And this will lead to the greatest rest of all, which is rest from sin. You want to keep those elements in mind when we're talking about the Sabbath day. Don't work. Gather together and worship, and see how that will lead you in your life to cease and desist, stop sin, and live to God's praise and glory. For us, one of the puzzles, however, is that in our Lord's Day, we still speak about the Sabbath. We read there, we begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. We know that we no longer gather together on the Saturday, and the reason is clear for that. Jesus died on Friday. He laid in the grave on the Saturday, the Sabbath day. He rested in the grave, and he was raised up on Sunday. And so we see in the New Testament that the church gathered on the Sunday. That was now their day of rest and worship. But why don't we just call it the Sunday? Why does our catechism still speak about the Sabbath? It's because of the beautiful history and meaning of that word Sabbath, rest. You know, in the New Testament time, we rest, and it's not even so much that we rest from our labor, but that we rest as we gather together in worship on the Sunday. The ultimate refreshment. It's a liberation. It's breathtaking. We come together on the Sunday. We rest from our sins. We are refreshed, and we begin the eternal Sabbath, which will one day be perfected in the new heaven and new earth, where we completely stop and rest from sin, and everything is to God's praise and glory. We're going to look at the meaning of Sabbath this afternoon, but we're not only going to look at the Sabbath day, we're also going to look at the Sabbath year, which takes place every seventh year, and the year of Jubilee, which is 7 times 7 years, so the 49th year. And we summarize our sermon in this way: remember the Sabbath. We'll look at the background to the Sabbath, fulfillment of the Sabbath, and enjoying of the Sabbath. Let's start off with a little story. Imagine that somewhere in Central America, in the forests, rainforests, in the mountains, there was this tiny little village. And these people had their town laid out very beautifully, like the Mayans used to do, had their town laid out, and all around in the hills were tiers of farming, and it was a quiet, nice pace of life. Nobody bothered them. Farming was good. There was time to be together as family. There was time to relax, to enjoy yourself. It's the good life. And they're isolated. But one day, the bulldozers come plowing through the jungle into town. They make everyone slaves. They make them work day and night as they try to dig the ore of the ground. They have gone from a happy, free people enjoying their lives to miserable slavery. It's being destroyed, all that they had. But there are some freedom fighters. Freedom fighters, they come in, they drive out the mining company, completely gone, and they restore life to the way it was. A life where people could do their work, they had time for family, time to relax, time to enjoy themselves. Life is good, and there's a lot to be thankful for. Brothers and sisters, that's what God did for Israel when it was in the hellhole of Egypt. They were dying there. They had no freedom. They had no time off. They worked 24/7, 365 days a year. But God took them out of there, and at Sinai, he established the Sabbath day and said, "My people, you work 6 days and you get a whole day off. I want to see you refreshed. I want to see you enjoy life. I want you to say how good it is to be God's people who takes care of his people. They can enjoy life, and that draws us into a closer relationship with him." Now, the reality is, in many places in our world, there is not that kind of freedom, that kind of ability to relax, to sit back and enjoy life, have a day off, whatever. I know that a lot of people say Canada has that. We've got a 40-hour work week, right? Well, that sounds true, but it's not. We're not a society where we know how to relax and have freedom, have time just to sit and relax and think about how good it is to belong to the Lord. We have become a society that's very materialistic. You might have an 8-to-5 job, but how many people aren't picking up extra shifts? Or families become double-income families, and sometimes things are coordinated in such a way that when the husband works, the wife is at home. When the husband's at home, the wife goes out to work, and there's so little time together. And then there's the emphasis on sports and things, you know, swimming lessons and violin, piano lessons. Our society is so busy that there are some people who say, "I don't even know what it's like to have a day off." That's not how God wants his people to live. God wants his people to have a Sabbath, to have a rest, to have time. You know, spend time with your wife. Spend a day with your children. Go together to the worship services and sing and listen. And afterwards, let's talk about the sermon to be refreshed in our souls with an amazing God who loves us and gives us the freedom from our sins. Going back to Israel in the Old Testament, their Sabbath, to use a modern term, was epic. You know, it was iconic, words that people like to use now, but it certainly was. You know, Israel worked 6 days a week and had a day off. Nobody else in the world had that. And they couldn't. It was a very agricultural society. The only way that people survived is if they worked 7 days a week. But Israel worked 6 days a week. How do they do that, the nation said? How do you work 6 days and get a whole week, whole day off? Don't have to do anything. Relax, enjoy, take the day off. It just doesn't happen. You know, surrounding nations are scratching their head and they're saying, we want to know how you can do it, because to us this is impossible. The Lord said the Sabbath day is a covenant sign. We read that in Exodus 31. The Lord said, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. When the Lord says this is a covenant sign, he's saying this is something special that I give to you. And it seals in your mind what a good God I am to you. And just like I rested on the seventh day in creation, so you will too. You will be refreshed. You will sing your hallelujahs, because this is the day where in your resting and refreshment, you get to know me even better. And the surrounding nations are still scratching their heads and say, how did they do it? They only did it because of God. Now, how it works, you know, of course, from Exodus 16, that Israel's in the desert. In the desert, there's no food, there's no water, but no problem. God made manna appear every day, the quails, water came out of the rock. But what's interesting is that the manna only came 6 days a week. And then we read there Moses' words to the people, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everybody else is working like a slave. In Israel, on the Friday morning, gather so much food that evening they could start their rest. Saturday was off. They had enough food for the day. Water would come from the rock as well. They had everything that they needed, and they had the time to get together as God's people, to worship him, hear the gospel, and know that rest from God is not just physical, but it's spiritual and eternal. Now, we might say, okay, 1 day a week, that's quite something. It's kind of stretching things. You certainly can't go further than that. The Lord said, watch me. I give you off every seventh day, but I'm also going to give you off every seventh year, the Sabbath year. And that's truly amazing. Like, can you imagine that today, every seventh year, none of us went to work? We had all the food and drink we needed, and mortgage payments were being made and so on. So the Lord did for Israel. He said, every seventh year, you don't have to work, because on the sixth year, I'll give you so much food. It's good for the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year until you come to the new harvest. Again, the surrounding nations are scratching their heads. How could Israel do this? We're still not done, because the Lord also gave the Sabbath year. Now, the year of Jubilee. Now, the year of Jubilee is also a Sabbath year, because it's seven times 7 years. The year of Jubilee is a Sabbath year, but it has something special. It's the 49th year. Leviticus 25 also calls it the 50th year. That's just the way Israelites talk. Sometimes I talk that way too. Somebody says, how old are you? So I'm 68, but I'm in my 69th year. That's how they talked about the Jubilee. 49 years, it's the 50th year. Now, what happens in life sometimes is you get into trouble. If you're a farmer and you break your leg, and there's no workman's comp or anything back there, you break your leg, you can't run your farm, you're going to become poor, and you are in deep trouble. And the Lord says, I don't want anybody to lose the farm. I don't want anybody to lose their property. I want all my people, you know, to have their roots in my land, to be part of the people, to say how good it is to be the people of God, and to look forward to the coming of Christ. So how does the year of Jubilee work? Let's say you got poor, you couldn't pay your debts, you're going to lose the farm. Well, someone, hopefully a relative known as a redeemer, He would say, I will buy your land. But the value of the land lay in the value of the crops, and that's what he paid. So let's say it's 20 years away from the year of Jubilee. You have 20 years of crops. Let's say in an average year, just to take a number, you make $1,000. So it's $20,000. So the Redeemer would give $20,000 to the poor man in debt, and he could use that $20,000 to pay off his debts. And meanwhile, the guy who bought the farm would make that back until the year of Jubilee. And then on the year of Jubilee, he would say to the poor man who had lost, he says, here it is, it's back to you. That's what the year of Jubilee did. If you had debts, if you lost your home, if you lost the farm, in the year of Jubilee, you got it back. That's how good and how generous God is. And not only did you get your property back, it happens to be a Sabbath year, so you get the whole year off as well to relax, refresh, enjoy yourself, and live to God's praise and glory. What happened? Israel did not keep its Sabbath days. There's no record of Israel ever keeping the Sabbath year, and there's no record of Israel ever keeping the year of Jubilee. Oh, the priests had it all figured out. They knew exactly what was the Sabbath day, what was the Sabbath year, what was the year of Jubilee. You don't mix up the schedule, but they didn't keep it, not even the Sabbath day. And we see that in Isaiah and in the minor prophets. We read, for instance, in Nehemiah, in those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and leading them on donkeys and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I warned them on the day when they sold food. There's a direct relationship between Israel not keeping the Sabbath and those other special occasions as well, not keeping the Sabbath and losing connection with God. There wasn't time anymore for worship. There wasn't time to sit back and relax and say, I'm going to hear a sermon, I'm going to sing with the people and pray. It was all business, it was all making money. So the Lord says, I'll give you a Sabbath. Into exile, 70 years, your rest, don't take any pleasure in it because you are cut off from the promised land and you have jeopardized your relationship with your God. Brothers and sisters, this is a warning, obviously, for the people of the Old Testament, but we are warned in New Testament times, too, about our attitude to the New Testament Sabbath, to the Sunday. In Hebrews 4, we read about Israel failing to enter the promised land because of disobedience. And then the author turns to us and says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. There's a big connection in every life here, to the Sunday and who you are and how you live your life. If you're the kind of person who loves the Sunday, you look forward to it. Like Israel in the Old Testament, their Sabbath actually started Friday night, 6 o'clock. If for you, already on the Saturday evening, you're contemplating what's going to happen tomorrow, and you're prepping for it with prayer and thoughts and meditation. And when we gather together, it's a red-letter day. This is a day where we don't have to work, but more importantly, we get together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we meet with our God. And we hear the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That is entering true rest. Rest from our sins. Freedom and liberation as the people of God. And we begin the eternal Sabbath, the Sabbath of turning away from sin and living to God's praise and glory. We should now see how this is all fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ called himself Lord of the Sabbath. And he also taught us what the Sabbath is really all about. You know, the Pharisees in his day, they crippled the Sabbath. What a horrible day. Can't do this, can't do that. You know, it was a day of pure misery, and Jesus says, give me a break. And you know what he did? He healed, you know, he healed the lame, and he healed the blind and so on. The Pharisees, you can't do that because you're working. Seriously? The Sabbath is about liberation. The Sabbath is about release from what brings you down. The Sabbath is about joy. If you're crippled, if you're blind, if you're lame, that holds you back from being the full person that you would love to be. So Jesus says, what better thing can I do on the Sabbath day than to heal the sick, to liberate them, to give them joy, to let them see the face of God? What a remarkable, amazing God we have. Because, of course, Jesus Christ always did his miracles, and he preached to, and he preached about salvation and forgiveness of sins. But then, as we read together, we come to Luke 4. He was given the scroll of Isaiah, and he quoted there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The year of the Lord's favor is a barely disguised way of talking about the year of Jubilee. Jesus Christ says, I'm the one who was promised. I've come to break chains. I've come to pry bars apart. I've come to liberate people from their debts. In the Old Testament, maybe you lost the family farm. But what you have lost, what we have lost, is a relationship with God because of sin. We are covered with the debt of our sin. But Jesus says, I am the Redeemer. And I take your debts, and I pay for that with my death on the cross, so that you are free. You are liberated. You have Sabbath rest from a broken, sinful life, now able to live to the praise and the glory of God. And remember, brothers and sisters, that we said in the Old Testament, Israel stopped keeping the Sabbaths. Sabbath day, Sabbath year, and year of Jubilee. And it destroyed their lives. They didn't know who God was anymore. They didn't know what it was to be free from sin. An Israelite was just like any other nation on the face of the earth because they didn't keep the Sabbath day. Brothers and sisters, how important it is for us to keep our Sunday as it transforms our life and the people around us. You know, the people we work with, the neighbor we talk to over the fence, people at college or university, at trade school, that they see, you know, we come in Monday morning and we're not hungover. We got a smile on our face. We're filled with joy. We're refreshed. And people say, you know, what is it about you? I had an amazing day. I gathered together on Sunday, we sang together, we prayed together, we talked together, and we heard a sermon about Jesus Christ and the rest that he gives us, the joy and the freedom. You know, that stamps you, it changes you, and people feel it and will also want to know something about this Savior. Can they have this too? And brothers and sisters, Sabbath rest is also something we need to think about in our relationship with our neighbor. And I connect this a little bit with our earlier sermon today. In our society, there are so many people who are burdened by their lives. We mentioned how there are seniors who are shut in because of COVID restrictions and they're aging before our eyes. We have frontline workers, doctors, nurses, police, firemen, many of them seriously overworked. We have to show them what true rest is. You know, in your neighborhood, there could be an elderly couple who can't get out. Very difficult for them to go grocery shopping. They're also very worried about, you know, picking up the virus, whatever. You know, as a Christian living in the joy of salvation, go to your neighbor and say, give me a shopping list. I'm going to do your shopping for you. You know, in Ontario, when this whole COVID business started, there was a large greenhouse owned by Reformed people. And they said to the Reformed community, come and get some flowers from us and bring it, you know, to a police officer's home or a nurse's home. And I heard that there were police officers who were bawling, crying on their front doorstep because someone cared about them so deeply and the trauma and the challenges that they were going through. As people who enjoy rest from God, a rest that, you know, fills our lives, not just the spiritual life, but physically and emotionally. I'm happy. Even the trials and tribulations I face, I get through them with the help of my God. To share that joy with our neighbor, do the grocery list, drop off some flowers, and to talk to them is a wonderful opportunity to show a burdened and slave society that there is freedom. There's an amazing joy that the Lord our God gives to his people. And so when we ask now the question, how are we to spend our Sunday? Our Lord's Day is quite clear about that. It mentions three things. First of all, there's a reference to the ministry of the gospel in the schools, and we tend to understand that as Christian education. That's a good and wonderful thing. But because it's connected to the Sunday, we should see that this is ultimately a reference to our theological seminary. A part of the Sunday is to think of theological education, the training of young men so they can become ministers, and we have someone who will preach the gospel to us. And then there's a reference to the regular worship service where we have the sermon, the sacraments, prayer, and giving mercy to the poor. And thirdly, there's the spiritual understanding that Sabbath rest is not just don't do your work, listen to a sermon, but begin the eternal Sabbath. That in Jesus Christ, you rest from sin and give your life to the praise and the glory of God. To put it in a perspective, Israel did not keep their Sabbath. They destroyed their lives. We see what happened with the Babylonian exile. There's something for us to ponder, to contemplate today. What's the Sunday mean to me? The answer to the question and how you keep the Sunday will put a stamp on who you are, whether you're living in the joy of salvation or not. One thing that we should be doing on Sundays is remembering and praying for our theological seminary. We have a beautiful seminary there in Hamilton. Professors, we've got a few dozen students now. Let's keep them in our prayers. That these men are well-trained, that they're full of the Spirit. They can come out and become ministers in vacant churches and in the mission field. We pray that these men will be able to enhance our Sabbath rest as they give us the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's also the matter that Sunday is a day we gather together. And typically, we do that twice every Sunday. I know that even in our churches, it's becoming a little more commonplace to have oncers or people who might not come at all on a Sunday. That says a lot about your relationship with God. Once in a while, I talk to a brother or sister who says to me, you know, wild horses couldn't keep me away from the worship services. The Sunday ought to be the day of the week, red letter day, the day that we can leave our work behind, go individually or as a family to the worship service We sang some beautiful psalms and hymns today, and we prayed, and we listened to the Word of God, and we heard what an amazing God we have. He loves us. He's gracious to us as sinners. He picks us poverty-stricken people off the ground, washes away our sins, and make us His children. I need to hear that. The Sunday, I'm standing at the burning bush. I'm standing on holy ground. I need this day. I need to connect with my God. I need to know Him so that in this way we may also begin the eternal Sabbath, that rest from sin, that walking with God in anticipation of the day that we will no longer be able to sin and we will live forever in that glorious liberty with our God in a new heaven and new earth. Amen.